Welcome to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. Speeding your way quick as a greyhound, chatting more than a chihuahua, leaping through obstacles like a border collie, and barking out loud my better pet parenting messages, I am Denise Fleck, the Pet Safety Crusader, and I'm delighted to help you make the difference in the life of an animal. Today, we're going to be treated to a special guest, Wayne Pacelli, the CEO and President of the Humane Society of the United States. And if you stay all the way through the end, you're going to hear one of my besties, Deborah Jo Chiapuzio, the founder of the Emma Zen Foundation, that lady who works so hard getting pet oxygen masks to all of our first responders. But first, we're going to talk about something a little special. So no matter how much you already rock at taking care of your furry family members, there's always more to learn. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing whatever the heck it is you were doing, but stay tuned to this episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn how to be the person your dog or cat knows you can be. July 15th is Pet Fire Safety Day, you know, something near and dear to the Pet Safety Crusader's heart. Each year, an estimated 500,000, that's half of a million pets, are affected by home fires, and nearly 1,000 house fires are accidentally started by our pets. We often, you know, worry about keeping our pets safe in the event of a fire, but we don't always think that they, in fact, could be the cause of the fire. So on the 15th, please really think about this. Keep it on your mind 365 days a year, but do what you can to prevent your pet from starting a fire by extinguishing any open flames. Never leave your dog or cat around them. Dogs and cats are curious creatures by nature, and they're going to investigate stoves where there are tremendously good smells coming from, ovens, candles, even your barbecue pit or your fireplace. So supervise around open flames and make sure that all flames, fires, sources of heat, even electric heaters, plug-in fans, are out before you ever leave your pets home alone at the house. Some people even go as far as removing stove knobs when they come out, or at least putting covers over them. A stove or a cooktop is like the number one piece of equipment involved in your pet starting a fire. You know, sometimes you're going to leave something. I actually heard a story not too long ago about someone who left a cake on the stove to cool, just setting on the open burners because they felt, you know, there was an air circulation underneath and it would cool. But they left the room and Doggy, of course, smelled that magnificent cake and jumped up, paws on the counter, doing that little counter surfing to try to reach it. And in the process, turned on the gas burner and started a fire in the house. So tragedy ensued. Fortunately, all was well because the person was home, even if in the other room. But, you know, it doesn't take long for the dog to get burnt paws or snout or for a fire to quickly swoop through your house. Some people are also culprits at leaving things like pizza boxes and other flammable items on the stovetop. Whether you have open burners or one of those flat glass top stoves, don't ever do that, because if somehow a button is pushed by a child, by a pet, even accidentally by an adult human, we have a tragedy. And one thing I know our firefighters often are trying to remind us is to get back to basics. And remember, when you're cooking, to turn those pan handles inward. If we have them out protruding over the edge of our countertops, even as we're moving from counter space to counter space, you know, body parts and arms and elbows can knock that pan handle and knock what's in the pan, hot items on the floor, onto our family pet. But also, if there's greases and oils, that can be knocked into the flames and a very quick fire can, you know, happen. You might want to check out flameless candles. These candles have a little light bulb rather than an open flame, so they really do take the danger out of your pet knocking over a candle. Cats, God bless them, love them. They are amazing creatures, but they are notorious for starting fires when their tails turn over a lit candle. And, you know, there are even some humans in the house, as well as our pets, that have asthma or other breathing difficulties, so they don't do well with the smoke and other fumes that candles give off. So a flameless candle just might be a win-win for the whole family. Now, this one, I don't have any personal proof of it happening, but I've read on so many websites that we need to beware of water bowls on wooden decks. Never, ever, ever leave a glass water bowl for your pet outside on a wooden deck, because when the sun rays actually filter through the glass and water, it can heat up and ignite the wooden deck beneath it. I know that may sound hard for a lot of us to believe, but maybe it's like, you know, when you use a magnifying glass. What I just like to always say is choose a stainless steel or a ceramic bowl instead, but make sure they're clean, wash them out, warm soapy water every day for our pet's sake, and keep them in a place that is shady all day long. Remember that when the sun moves at different times of the day and different times of the year, you want to make sure the water is not only fresh, but that it's cool enough for your pet to drink and keep themselves well hydrated. I know over the last several weeks on this show, we've been talking about hydrating your pets, so keep that in mind. Also, as far as our pet safety goes with fires, is you've got to pet-proof your home. As I always say, get down on all fours and look at life from your pet's perspective. What's perfectly clean at 5'6" or 6'2", wherever you happen to stand, is a whole nother world down at 7 to 22 inches off the floor. And, you know, combined with that, our pets have an amazing sense of smell and curiosity, which will cause them to seek out things behind cabinets and on shelves and places where they shouldn't get. So get down on all fours and walk or crawl around your home, even your yard, looking for areas where pets might inadvertently start a fire. Loose wires and other potential hazards need to be out of paws and claws reach. Now, not only do we not want our furry kids to start a fire, we want to keep them safe, because that's good pet parenting. Keep pets near entrances when away from home. So if you're locking your pets in a certain part of the house or in a crate or a carrier while you're away, make sure that's near an entrance where if a first responder has to dash in, they can easily and quickly find your pet. Especially if they're a young puppy or a kitten, keep them confined away from potential fire starting hazards when you're not home. In crates or behind baby gates in secure areas are best. Now, we must plan and practice escape routes. I know I've been harping on pet disaster preparedness, and that's just one of the things the Pet Safety Crusader does pretty much 24/7, 365 days a year. But how many times do I need to tell you before you actually do make that plan? Have you gotten your evacuation kit ready to go? Where are you going to go with your pets? Have you found out that everybody in the family can handle all of the pets? You have to do drills, whether it's once a season, when we set the clocks back, or whatever works best for you. But you must actually practice, not just talk it through. Make sure everybody knows how to safely get on the collars and the harnesses, how to get Kitty in her crate, and keep those collars and harnesses in a place that when you need to evacuate quickly, that, along with your pet first aid kit and your pet's food and all of his needs, can be easily grabbed and off you go to safety. You may also want to consider using a monitored smoke detection service. It's just an added layer of protection beyond our battery-operated smoke alarms and smoke detectors and carbon monoxide alarms we may have in our house. And it's just something that, you know, if a pet's home alone, if you're connected to a service, they might be able to save your pet. Finally, what I want to mention today in regards to our Fire Pet Safety Day is to affix a pet alert sticker to a window or door near your front entrance. Write down the number of pets you have inside, 2 dogs, a cat, a bird, a gecko, whatever you happen to have, and make sure it has your critical information about where to find you. First responders, firemen, can't always go in looking for animals right away. The humans do come first in the evacuation process, but people on animal response teams like myself, animal control officers, and when time allows, the firemen will come looking, trying to save our pets. And if there's a sticker there, it lets us know to look for a pet and what type of species. Do remember, though, if you are home, always evacuate with your pet. Don't think they'll be okay at home. And when you do evacuate, cross out or remove that sticker so people aren't needlessly looking for a pet who's no longer in jeopardy. To start you off on the right paw, remember that's the name of my children's book available on Amazon, shameless plug. If you send an email to petsafetycrusader@gmail.com saying you tuned in today's show and want to start off on the right paw for your pet's sake, I will mail you a pet alert sticker. Just be sure to give me your snail mail address in that email. And always, always please remember that when you have a dog or a cat, You have a furry toddler for life for whom you are responsible. Unlike human toddlers, however, you may actually leave them home alone for periods of time. So you really, really need to put into effect systems that help your best friends remain by your side for many, many years to come. Cliche as it sounds, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. After this doggone quick break, we're going to be back with President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, Wayne Pacelli, to talk about his most recent offering in the literary world, the Humane Economy. See you in a few.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Preen Pets. 100% natural dog treats made and sourced in the USA. Positively no chemicals and no additives. Treats, sticks, and bones made with chicken, fish, pork, turkey, beef, and vegetables. Wow, and vegetables? This is what I want you to do. Go to www.preenpets.com. That is preenpets.com. Give your furry children the best nutrition for a long and healthy life. Go to preenpets.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and although I have taught more than 10,000 humans animal life-saving skills, I know there are so many more dogs and cats who could benefit from their people learning better pet parenting. That's why I travel far and wide teaching you to keep your pets safe and help them live longer, happier, healthier lives. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing. But join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become the bow, wow, wonderful person your pet knows you can be.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Gerard Lariat, creator of the best aromatherapy pet care, has something great for your pets. All natural and 100% biodegradable products recommended by veterinarians. It comes in 5 distinctive scents for shampoos, sprays, and candles, and it will help your pet relax and have plenty of energy at the same time. This is what I want you to do. Go to puppyprimp.com. That is PUPPYPRIMP.com. Puppyprimp.com. Your pet will love you for it.
Welcome back to Pet Safety Crusader Radio. You've got Denise Fleck here, and I just chewed on your ear about National Pet First Fire Safety Day. Since we all care so much about the animals in our life, we want to be kind, we want to keep them safe, and we want to treat them humanely 365 days of the year, not just on those days that are designated to make us aware of problems. Those special days like July 15th, Fire Safety Day for pets, is important, but I want us to think about these things all year round. Like me, many of you, that compassion for our animals really extends to animals beyond our four walls. So whether you're a pet sitter with dozens of furry clients to care for, a veterinarian, a groomer, a dog trainer, a kitty behaviorist, animal massage therapist, pet photographer, marine biologist, wildlife conservationist, gosh, the list goes on and on, but our concern should not. Animals and humans can have a better world together, but it should not, could not, can't be at the expense of each other. To that end, I am delighted to have on the show today Wayne Pacelli, the President and CEO of the Humane Society of the United States, our nation's largest and most effective animal protection organization. I've been so lucky to meet him actually personally on a few occasions and via the TV waves as he visits my high school animal care class every semester when we discuss puppy mills. If you guys have not seen that 2008 episode of the Oprah Winfrey Show, where Wayne and Oprah and many of the other guests really, you know, enlighten the world about puppy mills, look for it on YouTube or wherever you can find it, because it's truly an eye-opener, and so many of my high school students have really found a new path for themselves after viewing that episode. So, Wayne, welcome to the Pet Safety Crusader Radio Show.
I'm so glad to be with such a great animal advocate. Thanks for having me on.
Much appreciated. Now, I know I asked you here after reading your latest book, The Humane Economy. Now I'm tongue-tied. The Humane Economy. But I would love it if first you would tell my audience a little about the mission of the Humane Society of the United States, because I come across a lot of people who are actually a little confused. In a lot of cities, the Humane Society is actually like a shelter in their community. So can you explain a little bit about what the purpose is and an overview of the work the HSUS actually does?
Happy to. The Humane Society of the United States was formed in 1954, so a little after World War II, when our nation was really kind of coming into its own in terms of a global economic power, and the suburbs were growing, and a lot of people were thinking about their responsibilities to others, and a number of pioneering advocates created the Humane Society of the United States, placed it its headquarters in Washington, D.C., to be at the center of policymaking, and they really had a couple of purposes which are still very relevant today. One purpose was to professionalize the field of animal care. There were shelters and wildlife rehab centers and other local institutions that were doing great work, but they were having to invent the wheel themselves. And the purpose of HSUS was to kind of help each of them professionalize their operations. Second, and I think most importantly, is that HSUS would do work that the local groups couldn't, that HSUS would take on the problems of inhumane slaughter for meat, would address dog dealing to laboratories or crack down on dog fighting. That while the local organizations were doing absolutely critical work to help animals in their community, there were a set of problems that were beyond their reach, beyond their expertise, and HSUS would complement their work by attacking these problems and trying to prevent cruelty. So today, 62 years later, as you mentioned, we're the largest animal protection organization. We have an international affiliate called Humane Society International. We're active in more than 50 countries across the United States. We have program departments in companion animals, farm animals, animal research issues, wildlife and habitat protection, and equine protection. We work on the biggest issues, whether it's puppy mills or dog fighting, factory farming, meat reduction, horse slaughter, horse soaring, clubbing of seals, commercial whaling, you name it. We have kind of an oar in the water on almost every big issue. And, I just think we're pretty effective at all that we do. We're a powerful force for animal protection. And so much of that work is chronicled in my new book, which you were kind enough to mention, The Humane Economy. And I argue in that book that we're really in a moment of great change, when our society is becoming much more alert to the needs of animals. And we've driven big changes in every sector of the economy.
Wow, that just covers such a vast amount of topics. And hopefully that clears that up for a lot of people, in that the grassroots, the local shelters and rescues and all of the work people are doing on the local sphere is so very important. But what you're doing is kind of taking it to the next level, helping them, but trying to get the laws and make effective changes.
Just to sharpen that point, absolutely, Denise. I mean, who's going to stop imports of puppy mill dogs from Russia or Bulgaria or Mexico? I mean, a local group in San Diego County or in Nye County, Nevada, simply doesn't have that apparatus in place. Who's going to negotiate with Walmart over how it procures its animal products and what the sources for those animal products are? Are they coming from inhumane factory farms or from more humane production operations? Who's going to address animal testing in chemical testing, or, you know, get chimpanzees out of government labs? I mean, that's just so beyond the incredibly important work that a local rescue or a shelter can do.
Absolutely, because those local shelters and rescues are just overwhelmed with the problem they have. So it's so great to see that organizations like the HSUS, and that being, you know, one of the main ones doing this extra work, is reaching beyond and making other things happen. Now, the sequel in my Don't Judge a Book by Its Cover children's book series is called Start Off on the Right Paw. It's about making proper introductions between pets, because we don't always get a second chance. Actually, we never get a second chance to make that first impression. Wayne, I loved reading about your beagle Lily in the book, and unfortunately, it sounds like she didn't make a great first impression. I believe you wrote something to the effect that moment after our eyes met, the poor little girl had an accident right at our feet. But you didn't leave it there. Tell us about your little forever friend and how you gave her a second chance.
Well, she did have an accident. Let me just say it was not number one. It was number two, and it was not solid either. And I felt so bad for her. She was so scared, and she's this beagle mix. She was about to be euthanized at a rural shelter in Virginia when a group called Lost Dog and Cat Rescue pulled her. They took her to 9 adoption events, and I say in the book that Lily was 0 for 9. And I'm sure, I also said this in the book, that when people saw the folks from Lost Dog and Cat Rescue who were volunteering at the PetSmart, which was the adoption venue for that day, they thought, oh boy, you know, we're going to go 0 for 10 because she just had her number 2 incident right in front of the people who were doing a quick inspection of her. But we fell in love with her right away. It was a small matter to clean up the mess that she made, and we just wanted to kind of take her into our arms and give her a forever home. You know, like some animals whose background is unknown, she had some set of terrible experiences that really made her frightened of people and made her wary. And we just wanted to give her the most safe and secure place. And I mentioned in the book that we did adopt her at a local PetSmart in Northern Virginia. And I really think of this as an example of the humane economy that PetSmart and Petco, rather than selling dogs that come from puppy mills, opened up their doors to rescues and shelters and took homeless animals to those stores for adoption days with local partners. And they've adopted out between them, you know, with the local groups doing so much of the work, more than 11 million dogs and cats, which has really taken a big bite out of the euthanasia crisis in our country. So it's very, very exciting.
That's just so wonderful. And hopefully as we get more and more cities to sign on not allowing puppy mill dogs to be sold in stores in their communities, we will increase that. We're talking with Wayne Pacelli, but we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back in a doggone moment talking some more about the humane economy.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Purr Spray Pet, all-natural, non-toxic spray for all of your pet problems. Proven safe to use for their skin, eyes, and ears. Helps calm and heal wounds, hot spots, insect bites, and lots more. Will not sting, and very safe to use, even for your feathered friends. To find out how you can keep your pets happy and healthy, go to purrspraypet.com. That's purrspraypet.com. purrspraypet.com. Or call us now at 386-310-3924.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Do you remember when your best friend used to greet you at the door every night? Always there, loyal, wagging his tail, happy to see you. Now things have changed. Your dog is getting older, and you're losing your best friend. Thanks to good nutrition and medical advances, however, our dogs are living longer today than ever before. But as our dogs do get older, they begin to change. Your dog may be waking you up in the middle of the night, or starting to soil in the house, even barking for no reason at all. He may just seem confused or be getting stuck in corners, and he just isn't himself. Over 28 million pets in the United States suffer from these same symptoms. Nutrix is a new, natural, and clinically proven solution that helps get your old dog back. Nutrix is a specially formulated soft chew with a taste dogs love and recommended by veterinarians across the U.S. Help your best friend by talking with your veterinarian about your senior pet's behavior. As a noted veterinarian says, do your pet a favor and ask about behavior. You can get Nutrix from your vet or go to Nutrix.com. For more information, visit their website, www.nutrix.com. I'll spell it out for you. www.neutrix.com. Nutrix.com.
Listen up, pet lovers. The best way to keep your pets safe and your car seats clean is by purchasing StageAx. Now you can take your pets with you and keep your car seats clean with a highly durable mat and never worry. Keep your car clean, keep your pets safe, and keep yourself happy with StageAx. This is what I want you to do. Go to StageAx.com. I'll spell it for you. StayJax.com. StayJax.com. Now you can enjoy traveling with your pets and keep them safe and keep your car seats clean.
You are back with the Pet Safety Crusader and Wayne Pacelli. Now, the pet industry, can you believe, is like a $60 billion business, from food to vet care to luxury items. But what Wayne's new book discusses is how the human conscience and creativity are creating a revolution in business that's changing how we treat the animals and create wealth, not just the pet industry, but across the board by keeping it humane. The tagline for the book is, How Innovators and Enlightened Consumers Are Transforming the Lives of Animals. I guess that's a bit of an overview, but Wayne, how would you describe a humane economy? What does that mean to you?
Well, it really means aligning our business activities, our commercial activities with our values. That, you know, business is not just there to create wealth. They're providing goods and services that enrich and enhance our lives. They're providing, you know, so many things that allow us to, you know, have comforts. But in the process of doing that work, they're not supposed to abuse the workers. They're not supposed to dump, you know, toxins in the environment. They shouldn't be being cruel to animals. I mean, our values are supposed to go right along with the operations of a business. When you think of factory farming, where animals are jammed into giant warehouses, and within those warehouses they're crammed into crates that are barely larger than their bodies, so the animals are, you know, unable to move for a year or two or three of their lives. I mean, that is just inhumane to deny animals their natural behaviors. I think of factory farming as an example of human creativity detached from conscience. What we want for our food system, for the pet industry, for wildlife management, for the cosmetics industry, is we want human creativity attached to conscience. We want our human ingenuity to be informed by our values. When we achieve that, that's the humane economy.
I think a lot of us are very easily do that detachment, and we've kind of desensitized ourselves to it. I was actually just talking with my husband the other night about how interesting it is that when you go to a restaurant and you order chicken, they call it chicken, but they don't call it cow, they don't call it pig. We've used, you know, other words, hamburgers and steak and different things, so that we're not really thinking of it that way. We go to a grocery store and we see it all prepackaged. We're not really realizing it's the animal. And obviously, I'm not including myself in this because I have been vegan for 9 years, but I remember, you know, not wanting to think of it that way. And I think the humane economy is offering some alternatives to that, correct?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think this is one of the big problems with animal protection, is not that people are not sensitive to animals or that they don't want to do the right thing, but they're so physically removed from the violence that's occurring to animals that it's just not part of their daily experience. They don't have to confront it, and they can just kind of go on their merry way without thinking about it. I mean, our food production system, you know, if we're lucky enough, we're sitting down to 2 or 3 square meals a day. We don't have any idea, if we're not alert to it, what the backstory is for these animals who are living, you know, in a crate or a cage fairly larger than their bodies. Or, you know, an animal at a puppy mill in Missouri or Oklahoma, you go to the pet store and you see this cute, frolicking little puppy, but you have no idea what the mother dog endured to produce that puppy. And I think so many of these things, we're trying to pull back the curtain and connect people to decisions that are really not that difficult for them, but we just don't have the access to the information.
So, so true. And your book covers so many topics, puppy mills, dog fighting, pigs in gestational crates, chickens in battery cages. I remember showing my high school class, they just really didn't understand that sometimes five or six or more chickens are in a cage maybe the size of their notebook paper, you know, and then obviously they're being debeaked. I know you cover wolves and animal testing, SeaWorld, Ringling Brothers, I'm probably forgetting something, the Giants of Africa, the elephants, the lions, the great apes. But there are two chapters in particular that I think may be even more unfamiliar to some of my listening audience, and I'd like you to elaborate a little bit more. One's called Meat With and Without a Heart and Planting a Stake in the Ground. I'd love you to just go crazy and elaborate a little on those.
Well, Meat With and Without a Heart is really about the revolution that's occurring in the way that food is produced. You know, so many of us have grown up eating meat. Like you, I'm a vegan. I've been a long time vegan, but I ate a normal, you know, conventional diet. And as a man, you know, you're worried because of all of the signals you get from our culture about masculinity and strength, and we're taught that meat equals strength. Well, what if you could fabricate in a laboratory plants and put them in a form that mimics the taste and texture of meat, but has none of the animal cruelty, none of the manure load that comes off of the factory farms, none of the antibiotics, none of the hormones, none of the public health problems associated with these factory farms. If you could have an equivalent experience in terms of taste and texture, but none of the cruelty, wouldn't that be remarkable? You know, it wouldn't diminish our eating experience and all the pleasures that come from eating, but you wouldn't have all of these social costs. And I went to these laboratories. I went to Beyond Meat in Los Angeles and saw how they're making plant-based foods into meat-like burgers and other products that give us a tremendous experience, something very familiar with all the good qualities of meat in terms of the protein, but none of the downside. I went to Hampton Creek, which is a company that's developing plant-based substitutes for eggs. Now, the average American eats 260 eggs a year. Now, you don't think of that because you don't think, oh, I don't eat that many scrambled eggs or poached eggs. But many eggs are hidden in muffins, hidden in other baked goods. And what if you could develop a plant-based egg substitute that had all the, again, all the protein, the taste, and then also the binding characteristics, because eggs are such an important ingredient to hold things together. But again, none of the battery cages, none of the animal cruelty. So I went to these labs and I talked to these entrepreneurs who are starting these companies, and I really see it as a gathering food business enterprise that's going to upend the way that we eat, and it's going to really align our values with our, you know, with our desires for protein and good nutrition. And I just think it's an incredible revolution. And at the beginning of the book, I quoted Winston Churchill, who wrote something like, you know, in 1931, he said, let me just pull the book out. He said, "We shall escape the absurdity of growing a whole chicken in order to eat the breast or wing by growing these parts separately under a suitable medium. Synthetic food will, from the outset, be practically indistinguishable from natural products." Sir Winston Churchill, the great World War II leader of the United Kingdom, said in 1931 an essay titled 50 Years Hence. That day is upon us, and we have options that we never had as consumers, and these companies are going to deliver more of these options in the years ahead.
how amazingly awesome to be able to save lives. And I don't want to get too woo-woo on some of my audience, but, you know, about, you know, our karma that we aren't, you know, endangering animals. So no matter what internet connection or phone line or dial you're listening to from right now, don't touch it. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Wayne Pacelli.
Hey, pet lovers, listen up. Super Essentials, your pet's best friend. Super Essentials is an immune system builder for all the animals. 100% human-made ingredients and made in the USA. Promotes longevity, increases energy, builds healthy joints and strong bones. It builds a solid foundation for excellent health for dogs and cats. This is what I want you to do. Go to www.MotherEarthPet.com to learn so much more about this product. My producer uses it for his pets and for himself as well. That is MotherEarthPet.com. A happy pet is a healthy pet. The site again, www.MotherEarthPet.com. Hey, pet lovers, you have to try this. Organic pet shampoo and organic pet skin spray made by the Green Hippies. You cannot get better than this. They are made with organic vegetables. Wow, this is what you must do. Go to thegreenhippies.com. I'll spell it for you. Thegreenhippies.com. Thegreenhippies.com. Or call right now, 386-747-5620. Hey, pet lovers. Have you had this problem? Did you ever lose your keys in your purse or in your pockets? Looking for a better way to carry your dog treats when walking your pet? Or, and this is a big one for me, looking for a better and safer way to carry your phone? Well, stop looking. The hip clip and pocket accessory is for you. Go to hipclips.com. I'm going to spell it for you. HIPKLIPS.com. Hipclips.com. The best way to carry your everyday personals.
You're back with Pet Safety Crusader Radio, and it is my pleasure to have the president and CEO of the HSUS, Wayne Pacelli, with me here today. And we've been talking that although huge progress has been made for better conditions for egg-laying hens, retirement of circus elephants, and even the development of engineered meat for consumption, his book, The Humane Economy, isn't, you know, a warm, fuzzy, drift off to sleep with a happy fairy tale on your brain kind of reading, is it, Wayne? You know,
well,
it's a serious
book, but I think one thing I tried to do is tell the story that so much change is occurring. It's actually quite hopeful. I mean, we get into the details of what's happening in the world of our human relationship with animals, but part of this story is the change, you know, that Ringling Brothers is giving up elephants and SeaWorld is ending its breeding of orcas and hundreds of food companies are now saying they're not going to get animal products from factory farms and hundreds of cosmetics companies are saying no to animal testing. I mean, this is an incredible moment. So I hope that it gives people a real lift in the broad sense when they read it, that their work and their intentional action for animals can change the world.
Oh, and I'm so with you. I really hope people, you know, do feel this. I just know that sometimes as much as people like animals, they once again will put up that guard like they don't want to know that the chicken, you know, chicken leg actually comes from a chicken leg. And they don't want to have it in their face about things that, you know, aren't as pleasant as they can be. And I just think it's so important that we do, especially if we all love animals and are passionate about animals, that we expose ourselves to the travesties that are taking place, because if we don't see what isn't right, nobody affects a change and makes it better for the animals.
Absolutely. I mean, we have all the power in the relationship with animals. You know, we can choose to be the masters and dominators of animals, or we can be their keepers and their guardians. We can treat our power as license and, you know, operate under the credo that might makes right and exploit them for any economic purpose or recreational pursuit or any sort of whimsical purpose, or we can, you know, treat them as these living, feeling beings who have lives that matter to them. And we can show our mercy and decency and express our humanity by caring for them. And, you know, that's the call, is for each of us to express our humanity toward animals. And, you know, one argument that I make is that this is not 1803 and Lewis and Clark are traversing the country and, you know, have to kill animals to survive and to clothe themselves against the harsh winter. We have so many options these days. You can have, you know, fake fur that looks just like the real thing, keeps you warm, is even cheaper. You can have food products, plant-based foods that are healthier than animal products and don't involve factory farms. You can go to movies where the animals are computer-generated images with the animal still at the center of the story, but no chimpanzee or orangutan or some other animal had to be beaten in order to get them to perform or to be trained, for acting as a wild animal. I mean, it's just a new day. We have new opportunities and possibilities, and as the creature of conscience, we humans should seize that opportunity.
Well, and I hope everybody sees how exciting that can be, and you actually gave me a perfect segue, because what I wanted to conclude with you in your book is that towards the back you have 10 things you can do to contribute to the humane economy. And these aren't things, Wayne, you and all of the people you've gotten on board are just doing amazing, huge, global, world-changing things for our animal friends. But each of us can make a difference. And like some of the things you say are that we can vote with our money, you know, pay attention. That's what it's all about, is tuning in, reading labels, paying attention to what people believe in and what they're saying so that we know who we're voting for. Eat lower on the food chain. Join and support groups that help animals. That's something people can do today. They don't even have to wait for tomorrow. There's an animal rescue group or some sort of cause in your neighborhood right now that can make a difference. You go on to talk about, you know, urging enforcement of the laws we have, because, yeah, we have a lot of books, or I should say laws on the books, but if they aren't enforced, it doesn't help our animals. Do you want to talk to any of those before we go on through 6 through 10?
Well, no, I think you said it right. I mean, we all have more power than we realize. We've got power in the marketplace. We've got power in terms of our potential, you know, political activity and involvement, influencing elections and, you know, communicating with lawmakers, urging executive agencies to enforce the law. Something as simple as food and food waste. We throw out 40% of the food that is on our plates. 40%. And it's 22% of all animal products. Now, if we raise 9 billion animals a year for food in the United States alone, and we throw out 2 billion animals, so we raise them typically on factory farms, and then we don't even eat them. We just throw out the food. I mean, what a moral crime that is. So just being conscious, eating smaller portions, I mean, getting smaller portions so that then you don't just eat a small amount and leave the rest to be thrown out. Little things like that have such enormous consequences for animals. It's a small matter for us. It's a very, very big thing for animals.
But what an easy eye-opening thing people can do right away today, you know, if you're going out to eat or whether you're cooking at home. I mean, maybe we need to get on the bandwagon and stop all this supersizing. But, you know, at least take things home and then, you know, use them for other meals. Last time I was at a restaurant, what I was served was 3 meals. So, yeah. You know, people need to pay attention to that, and it's healthier for us too. And then once we learn something, share it. You know, life is all about sharing experiences and sharing knowledge. And, you know, that's what I really try to do with my high school students and even my adults who I teach pet first aid and disaster preparedness to. I want them to go home and share it with their other family members so that those family members can help the pet when, you know, they're not around. And hopefully, you know, by paying it forward, more and more animals will be helped. We talked about lawmakers and voting a little bit, and, you know, we are obviously in an election year. So, you know, tune into all of your local elections and find out what people stand for. But one I really want to emphasize is number 10, in light of all that's going on across the country regarding our as two-legged animals, the humans. Number 10 is live as if all life matters. And that just couldn't be more poetic right now. Animals live in the moment, and we need to live more in the moment too and be kinder to each other. But what does live as if all life matters mean to you, Wayne?
I mean, we live in a world that is populated with animals. They're all around us. They're domesticated animals, they're wild animals. We run into them, whether we realize it or not, you know, in the food chain and with our vehicles driving on the roads or with products we buy in the marketplace, whether they're tested on animals or come from animals as handbags or outerwear garments. I mean, be conscious of the impact that we have and use the power that you have to do good, not to do bad or even evil for animals. I mean, we have so much human creativity. Let's use it and find ways that we can live a good life, but not leave a trail of animal victims in our wake.
I couldn't have said it better. And listening audience out there, I hope you've heard several times, as Wayne has told us, we all have power. That should make us feel good that we do have that power and can affect a change. So I strongly encourage everyone to run, not walk, to Amazon or where your local bookstore to get a copy of The Humane Economy, How Innovators and Enlightened Consumers Are Transforming the Lives of Animals. And Wayne, can you tell us the Humane Society's website and any other important information on how they can get in touch and learn more?
Absolutely. HumaneSociety.org is our website. It's an incredible compendium of information about animals and animal issues, ways you can be involved, a way to get involved as a member of the organization. I've got a blog called A Humane Nation that I write each weekday. We also have a political arm called the Humane Society Legislative Fund if you want to get involved in elections and lobbying. That is hslf.org. So please do get involved.
Wow, that sounds like there's something there for everyone. Wayne, it was absolutely bow-wow wonderful talking to you today. I hope we can do it again sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to take a quick break and wrap up today's Pet Safety Crusader radio show.
Hey, pet lovers. You can now contact a vet by video chat or text 24/7 worldwide. That's right. With Vets Plus More, a very important life-saving app for your pet, for your smartphone. Need to speak to a vet right now for an emergency or just a simple question? Then Vets Plus More is the answer. I'll spell it out for you. VETSPLUSMORE.com. Go to VetsPlusMore.com and speak to a vet for any medical questions or any simple questions for your furry best friend. This is the best thing you can do for your pet and for yourself. Do you travel with your pets? If you do, then take a vet with you. Just download Vets Plus More on your smartphone. VetsPlusMore.com.
Being the one who makes a difference is what I am all about. I am the Pet Safety Crusader, and my superpower is helping people to help their pets. So I come to you via the airwaves, sharing the latest 411 on how you can help your pets live longer, happier lives by your side. So please sit, stay, or just keep on doing what you're doing, but join me Thursdays at 1 p.m. on BBS Radio for each episode of Pet Safety Crusader Radio to learn, share, and become that awesome person your pet knows you can be.
Finest Fetch Dog Treats. It's more than a treat. Go to finestfetch.com. Made with the best quality human-grade ingredients and made in the USA. There is nothing like it. Your best friend will just gobble them up, and it's like eating a home-cooked meal. The treats have an unbelievable recipe. Chicken biscuit with blue cheese, rosemary and thyme, tacos, peanut butter and jelly, bagel and lox, wow, plus more. My producer eats them, and his dog eats them too, and he said they are healthy and delicious. I'm not kidding. So you must go to finestfetch.com. I'll spell it for you, finestfetch.com. Your best friend will love you for it.
You're back with the Pet Safety Crusader for one more time on this episode. And I just want to remind you to start off on the right paw by preparing for National Pet Fire Safety Day and any disaster by getting down on all fours and making sure life is safe from your pet's perspective, creating your evacuation kits, and practicing those drills so that everyone knows how to help Fido or Fluffy, even Dino or Polly, whatever animal you might have in your midst, get out of danger. Remember to get your pet alert sticker from me by sending me an email to petsafetycrusader@gmail.com. And if there's anything you want to hear on a future show, you can contact me there as well. Now, I've had one of my besties, Deborah Jo Chiapuzio, on the show before, but in light of pet fire safety, I had to drag her from 6,500 feet in the air in the Black Hills to have her on again and give a shout out about her nonprofit, the Emma Zen Foundation. Deborah Jo has it all spelled out on her website on how you can get pet oxygen masks on all the fire engines in your city. She's done her research and she knows how to make it happen, but there are procedures and protocol that you must follow along with raising the funds so that all engines in a company can be standardized. Deborah Jo is, like I said, 6,500 feet in the Black Hills. Tell us what the heck you're doing there to promote pet safety.
Wow. Hi, my friend. You know, it was sort of one of those things that life kind of gets put out in front of you. And if you're aware enough to see it and follow it, you're lucky to follow a new wave of life. And I had been coming to South Dakota to go to Sturgis Rally Week for many years with my dog. And I didn't realize that as I was handing out all these postcards saying, hey, this is Emma Zen, that I was gaining a social media and website base that was really from definitely one side of the United States to the other, but it even included some people that were from other countries. So when we first started the Emma Zen Foundation, and I was really trying to just put them into our city, I was so overwhelmed by the fact that people were contacting us from all across the United States. And a lot of that had to do with the following and the base that we had, because we are here at a big public rally that does call people from all over the United States. So while it has been a love of mine to be here and a love of what a biker dog does, of course, it's also been a very, very good place to just come. And, you know, everybody wants to see the biker dog in the car and, wow, that's cool. And I left my dog at home. And why is she in it? What does she does? And it's a great way for us to get the word back out, you know, and reach people from all over the United States while we're trying really hard to cover all of Southern California, since that is my hometown and yours as well, because we're here in a rally that has people from all over. It's really helped spread our word.
Well, how great, because Emma's giving the warm fuzzies to all of those, you know, humans out there that are missing their four-legged friends. But because she, you know, has such a presence, she's creating awareness and people are starting to think about keeping their pets safe and making sure there are oxygen masks in their community, or maybe making sure their pets are seat belted in. There are just so many things Emma, you know, stands for as regards to helping our pets live longer, healthier lives by our side.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have a lot of pet safety in your backpack, so to speak, and because the array of questions that people get, and it's wonderful how aware people are. Some people say, she doesn't have a windshield. I'm concerned for her eyes drying out. And I think that's fabulous that people these days are that aware of the needs of our pets, especially when they're doing something so special as even, well, that's the same as hanging your head out the window. You know, you need to think about your pet's eye safety at that point. And so it's just fantastic to be able to share with all the people just bits and pieces of pet safety and pet first aid. It has, used to be something that I do to come here for myself. And, you know, nowadays, myself is this foundation, along with a lot of other people. And it's been a pleasure to kind of work in the hills.
Oh, I can't even imagine. And I'm just so in awe of all the things you do and the places you're going to make people more aware. And I do have to put out there that although Emma doesn't have a windshield, I know you, Deborah Jo, and I know her eyes are protected. but it's just so awesome that people are thinking about stuff like that. So you've really created that awareness and made people think.
Yeah, it's been, you know, I've said before, it's wonderful when you can find your forte in life, when you can give back to that which matters most, and to be able to change our environment through the pet oxygen mask. So, you know, we've just gone over 3,000 kits now in the United States, and to be able to help people one person at a time and in groves of numbers, while there's like 300,000 people here at the biker rally, it's great. You know, when I leave this earth, I feel like I've given back something. I've given back something to the animals. I've given back something to the people that have helped raise them. And now we're just trying to do more to educate those kids, because somebody's got to grow up and take over this foundation someday, you know. So thank
Absolutely.
You for doing that.
Well, thank you so much. And what you've said, I hope everybody takes that wish away, that they're going to find that something special to do on behalf of the animals that makes them feel good. Both you and my previous guest, Wayne Pacelli, have proven that each of us can make a difference. So please, everybody out there, do visit thehumanesociety.org and also the emmazenfoundation.org to learn more about what my guests do. Remember, I'm going to be offering pet disaster paw preparedness training in Lakewood, Texas, Panama City, Florida, Camden, Arkansas, amongst other areas during my 10,000-mile pet safety tour embarking on September 15th. So do visit my website, sunnydoginkwithak.com, to see if we can do a meetup during my fall tour. Thank you so much for allowing me to help you help your pet. My pack and I have paws and fingers crossed that you and yours will stay safe, healthy, and happy. And I personally challenge you to do your best to be a superhero in the life of an animal. You may not be 6,500 feet in the Black Hills like Deborah Jo Chiapuzio, but you are somewhere that matters to an animal in your, you know, particular space. So I look forward to having you hear me and my guests next time. This is the Pet Safety Crusader signing off. She went to go for a ride in the car.